Realitní mixer, podcast o bydlení a realitách pro širokou veřejnost. Kupovat, prodávat, znát tržní cenu, každý občas potřebuje. To je ta správná chvíle najít si vhodnou epizodu z realitního mixéru, pohodlně se usadit do klubovky nebo si dát sluchátka do uší a začít s námi pořádně realitně mixovat. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome at new Reality Mixer podcast. Today we will talk about hotels. And my very special guest today is Nadja Tien. Welcome, Nadja.
Welcome. Thank you.
How are you today?
I'm doing very well. I am looking forward to have a discussion with you. And please go ahead.
Okay. Tell me, please, who is you? Who is Nadja Tien?
Who is Nadja Tien? I'm a Dutch guy. I'm actually, with a strange name, three quarters Dutch and a quarter Chinese. My grandpa is from China.
And you are a hotelier,
and
right?
I'm a hotelier. I started my hotel career 2001.
Is it like that you were grown in a family of hoteliers, or how did it come in your life?
I'm grown in a family of restaurant owners, so the hospitality is part of who I am, and it seemed like a logical step to go from restaurant business into hotel business. So. And I love traveling, so yeah, it just made sense.
So you are in the industry since 1991?
Correct.
Which is quite some time.
Correct.
And what did happen that you ended up in Prague?
Well, I started doing openings in 1991 because I had the opportunity to open up Disneyland in Paris. So Mickey Mouse was my first boss in a way. And somehow I went from opening to opening to opening until one day I ended up in Prague just for a weekend in a hotel that was just opened up. And the owner, and I was not the owner, the general manager of the hotel said, "Why don't you stay? I need somebody like you." And I said, "Okay, why not?" And I'm still here. And this is almost 22 years ago.
So you have had 22 years weekend in
yes,
Prague.
Yes, it was a very long weekend finally.
And during that weekend, you found a woman and you have a family, you have two children, right?
Correct.
So it was a very powerful weekend, let's say,
yes.
Full of fruits.
Yes. Now, to actually, 22 years ago, I think the hotel business in Prague is not what it is now. And I thought the opportunity to actually build something in Czech Republic was amazing. And so I took the chance and I'm still here.
And so tell me, what does that mean to you to be a hotelier? Can you describe that?
Well, I think born into a family of restaurant owners and especially my parents, spoiling people has always been my thing. Mm-hmm. And I learned that word in Czech very early on because I love the word rozmazlovat. I think that's one of the great words. And somehow it made a lot of sense for me to grow into the hotel business, to be able to continue what my parents did and spoil people. And very early on, I was able to be an opening manager of hotels. And that allowed me to be a creative person, basically continuing doing the spoiling that I was taught by my parents.
Nadja, I visited three or four of hotels that you have opened. Mm-hmm. And I saw completely different style, different atmosphere. I remember in one hotel, everyone was wearing diesel jeans. In a hotel, where you should have suit, you had diesel jeans. Everyone was wearing some Apple product like iPhones and Apple watches. And that was part of your idea how to make a special hotel. So can you tell me something about that? What is it that you create in every single hotel that you have opened?
The hotel with the diesel clothes, that was actually the first hotel that I opened up. And having the chance to basically do something that is completely my own was an enormous chance. And I loved mm-hmm. it. And I very much believe that the product and the experience that you get in a hotel is super important. So when I had the chance to do a hotel from zero, I thought it's better to hire people that have never worked in a hotel business before. Diesel at the time was a possibility to cooperate with. And everybody loved wearing diesel clothes. So I was able to attract completely different people, yeah, that were thinking out of the box already from the day that they joined me.
By the way, it's always a battle in every hotel for uniforms. Is the uniform pretty good enough? I mean, is the material good enough? Is it nice? Do I look pretty? And all that stuff. So with diesel, you didn't have to solve that because everyone was happy.
I still had to solve that.
You still? Okay.
Because not everybody liked the choice of diesel clothes that we did. We did not let the people choose themselves.
Anything but certain models. Yeah.
But what was cool is that, you know, after, you know, a couple of months, we changed the basically the uniforms. Yeah, there was a new part of diesel clothes that came out, and mm-hmm. the people were able to keep that. So it was also a perk in, you know, working for me at the time.
And if I remember correctly, was that the same hotel or it was another one where you bought all mattresses for Heston's?
Correct.
And the image of Heston mattresses is like the top of the top?
Correct. You know, for me, when you open up a hotel, the first thing that you do is you give people a place to sleep. Yeah, that is the biggest thing. Anything around
a great sleep, actually.
Well, when I heard in Czech Republic that Heston's was carrying the mattresses to people's houses, I had an idea. So why don't you drag the mattresses to my hotel? You know, and then I will invite the people coming to my hotel. I will spoil them rotten for a weekend, and it's a win-win situation for everybody. And it is very interesting because people that didn't sleep well for many, many years, they sleep for the first time in their life in a Heston's bed. And they don't have a sore back. They don't have, you know, it was really an interesting experience.
Did they leave some comments on TripAdvisor or Booking?
Well, that hotel that I opened up with the Heston's beds, that was also with the diesel clothes. We did, I think, for the first hotel in Czech Republic to have free Wi-Fi. We had a la carte breakfast, which is also a thing that I love very much. And I think it took 4.5 months or 5 months, and it was number one on TripAdvisor. So yes, the comments were, and you need to sleep well. And if people are smiling and you have great breakfast and everything, the whole product fits, yeah, then it kind of makes sense.
That's cool. So you have opened many hotels, as we said, in the city center of Prague. And if our clients are investors who are sometimes considering to open their own hotel, what would you recommend to be careful about pre-opening, or what do they have to have in their minds when they are preparing the hotel to be open?
I think that you should not underestimate time. Yeah, to have proper planned and proper amount of time for your pre-opening is very important. My philosophy was always that you can never change a first impression. You know, if you don't do a good job in the beginning when your hotel is open with paying guests, you will suffer from that, and it's very difficult to catch up. So to properly plan, yeah, to have an understanding of what product you want, what kind of staff you want, which clients you would like to attract, I think is very important. You always have to plan in, you know, that things go wrong, because also with the construction, there's many things that can go wrong.
Yes, of course.
So if you are able to do that and you have the money for that, I would definitely say that you need to, you know, take that into consideration.
So what we say at Jan Hospitality when we do consultancy for our clients, then we always recommend that the GM of the new hotel must be hired 12 months before opening at latest.
Mm-hmm.
12 months. And that he or she has to have enough time to hire the rest of the team, but also to put together the strategy for marketing and sales and communication and product, etc.
I think it's correct, because if you would like to have reservations on the day that you open up, you need to be ready, and you cannot open up your booking channels a week before opening. You need preferably to have them open already 6 months before, so that at least you have some reservations. So the whole process to the moment that you actually start to receive bookings, or that you say, I will receive on the future date bookings, that needs to be planned. One of the best experiences I had is the opening of Disneyland. That was a crazy opening, but the whole hotel was completely ready 1 month before the first paying guests arrived. And what Disney did, and I give them kudos that they take this into their heads, that they basically filled up the hotel 90% with non-paying guests, but completely controlled. So they had a checklist at 7 o'clock in the evening, you know, fill your bathtub. And it was a hotel with 1,000 rooms, so 1,000 bathtubs. And at 7:30, please pull the plug. And 1,000 bathtubs were all emptying. And so they basically tested it so much. The staff was completely, you know, crazy during a month. And by the time paying guests came, it was peanuts. And honestly, that pre-opening phase was amazing, but I have never seen it. And no investors put the money in place to actually repeat that.
I have to say that there is the chain Ambiente, very, very famous for the restaurants. And Tomáš Karpišek, the owner or one of the owners of Ambiente, what they do exactly the same. So they never open a restaurant which is half finished, half not. They already invited many guests. They tried all their meals to be cooked. They tried every single technical part of it. So when they open for paying guests, it's 100% ready. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. It's costly, but it talks about the quality. So whenever you come to Ambiente, you always receive the top quality.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense, because if you do have troubles in your beginning phase, it will cost you money as well. So it's a choice of investing to make it, you know, very good versus maybe trying to solve all the problems that you have during the opening
on
phase.
On the way, which can be quite difficult.
Yes.
Coming back to your childhood, I mean, what did you learn from the enormous energy that your parents put in their restaurant and your childhood where your friends were playing football somewhere outside and you had to be working in the restaurant and serving all Saturdays, Sundays, evenings to the guests? What did it bring to you?
Well, in that time when I was a teenager, it was not my favorite time that I say, oh, I'm going to go and work while my friends are playing football. But it did, you know, shape me into the person that I became later in life. And my parents are perfectionists. They like to have things, you know, as perfect as they can be. Mm-hmm. And some examples of that is that they open up a Chinese restaurant. Yeah, we all know Chinese restaurants, but I don't think that anybody knows a Chinese restaurant where the menus are handwritten by the owner, which is my mom.
Unbelievable.
And stuff like that.
And not only, you had also some winery part of the yeah, restaurant, which is also not usually connected with the Chinese restaurant.
Well, my father was a very interesting man. He had big passion for wine. Mm-hmm. So he started to do his own wine certificate and then later on the Vinolog. You know, he graduated as the best in Holland at the time, which a lot of Dutch people said, oh, the Chinese restaurant guy, what is that? And because of that, he also had his own TV series. He was mm-hmm. able to do his passion on TV as well, which of course created a lot of buzz.
Talking about wine or the food or everything in common? Or
What he did was a crew went through a journey through China, you know, and in the north in China, you cook completely differently than in the south in China.
Of course.
And so they went around in China cooking and filming on different locations. And my dad then cooked those dishes in the studio.
In the restaurant.
In the studio.
Okay.
To show it. Like a cooking show. Like you see with Jamie Oliver and stuff like that. And with regard to the wine, that was also a specific thing because Chinese restaurant with we didn't have a wine menu in the restaurant. If somebody wanted a glass of wine, my dad took him to the wine cellar. He said, what is your budget? We open up a bottle. We tasted it in the wine cellar. And after many years, that wine cellar, of course, was smelling very much of wine. Mm-hmm. But it was quite an amazing experience. And yeah.
So do you think that new stuff, or I mean young people or our children, let's say, do they also need to get this kind of experience that you have to be very precise, very detail orientated, but also that you have to be a very hardworking person so that then you are successful with anything you do in your adult part of life?
I think passion is a key word. Yeah, I think that anybody that has a passion for something is already halfway there. of course, to mm-hmm. learn that not everything is positive in life, and sometimes there's also negative things. I think it's a good thing to learn, you know, very early on.
And can you learn a passion, or does it have to be inside you?
It definitely has to be inside you, but I do think that if you have no idea what your passion could be, and other people open up your eyes or your give you examples, that suddenly you say, "Hey, you know, that is interesting. I would like to continue doing that." I definitely got my passion of spoiling people from my parents. Yeah? Would I have gotten that if I would not have had my childhood? I doubt it. I have no clue really, but I doubt it very much. So
this is interesting because I also do have a passion for spoiling people, but I didn't get it from my parents at all. But it's just vice versa that sometimes I was served something, like when I was first time buying my first apartment. Actually, the service was so terrible. I mean, it was so terrible, and I was GM of the Hotel Yalta in Prague on Wenceslas Square. And I compared in my mind the level of service I'm getting when paying, at the time it was 2.5 million crowns, compared to what we give to our guests who are paying 2,500 crowns, you know. And then I said, why don't real estate agents, why don't they provide the quality of service or spoiling their clients when it's so easy. Mm. It's just that you want or you don't want. And this is basically one of the reasons why I started to run a real estate agency, because I just thought that this way of this level of services, which I am requesting, me as a client, anywhere I am, I can offer it and provide it to anyone.
I thought about that a lot in my life, mm-hmm. because within the hotel industry, you have TripAdvisor, mm-hmm. and now you have Google, and you do something wrong, it's immediately on the internet, and yeah. it's very difficult to catch up afterwards. So theoretically, you should have a TripAdvisor or a Google system for any service that is out there, whether it's a dentist or real estate yep. or a car mechanic or whatever. Because, yeah, I am like you, that when I get bad service, and it not necessarily in restaurants, but anywhere, I don't understand why sometimes people, you know, get away with it. You know, some parts of life you get bad service and it's just how it is. And we kind of, you know, go with the flow.
Yeah.
So I appreciate what you did.
One of these things which is for me difficult to understand is I have visited so many hotels in my life. Not thousands, but definitely probably hundreds, mm-hmm. but I do get just from two hotels every year a birthday card, just from two hotels, from two only. Why is that? And this, I'm talking not only about Czech Republic, I mean the whole Europe, and not only in Europe. And one of them is Czech and one of them is Austrian.
Well, I have a nice story about that as well, because in the first hotel that with the diesel clothes and the Heston's beds, mm-hmm. we used to handwrite birthday cards to our guests. And 99% of the guests, they love it. You know, 6 months after they stay, they get a handwritten card with everybody from the whole hotel wishing you a happy birthday. Mm-hmm. But then we also had one time when we sent a birthday card to somebody, and I got a very angry letter back because that person was not in the hotel with the person that he was supposed to be with. If you understand what I'm saying.
Okay.
And we got basically...
And the partner found out
that... And the partner, of course, saw the happy birthday card. Yeah, so it can also be a negative thing, but yeah.
Okay, what do you think that marketing-wise, because this is when I saw the hotels that you've opened, it was always about smiling staff, very nice, great level of services, great ideas, which never got in my mind, like we talked about Apple and Diesel and Heston's products. But marketing-wise, where do you think that is the main issue with marketing? What's most important for hoteliers regarding marketing and the image that they create on the market and digital market?
Well, I am in my own world, maybe, I'm not sure, but it all starts with the product that you that you make or that you create. For me, that is the most important, because I think that the marketing that is most effective is the moment that somebody walks into your hotel, that they are completely satisfied with the hardware, the software, the smiles, the coffee, the breakfast, everything else.
Everything matches, right?
Everything matches. And if you then put a little sauce of creativity on it, yeah, because in the Icon Hotel, I had I installed at the time fingerprint safes, not because it's better that there's fingerprint safes, just because people remember it, that there's fingerprint safes. You know, At the time, I said, you know, why should my guest pay for Wi-Fi? I mean, this is a long time ago already. Now you don't have to pay for Wi-Fi, but at that time you had to pay for Wi-Fi. And yeah, just those small little things, plus the hardware and the software, which is the people, if you put that in a proper place, I think that's the best marketing you can do. And from, you know, all the hotels that I've opened up, three of them ended up on number one on TripAdvisor. Yeah, and it's not easy. It's not something that you just do and let's make
you decide for it. The next day is done. No, it doesn't work like that. Because you need the reply from your guests, right? They have to be happy, and they have to be so happy that they write it down somewhere.
Exactly. So that marketing is one of the most important things. And I've tried and maybe in a way also failed to not work with OTAs. It's also one of the things, why to give, you know, so much percent of my revenue to an online travel agency.
Like booking.com, Expedia.com, etc. Exactly. Yeah, this is OTAs, yeah.
And at the time, it made much more sense for me, you know, to do something really, really well that people understand through TripAdvisor, through Google, through other channels that I exist and that they should stay with me. And that there is a organic, basically, booking platform that is generated just because you are a great hotel. And of course, I could do that because it's an independent hotel. You know, when you are working for a chain property, then you have to follow certain guidelines. But it made much more sense for me to buy the advertising rights on Google so that nobody else can surf the wave of all the positiveness that I do and then let the people book directly onto my website versus, you know, giving the commission to somebody else.
Would you recommend it still today? Is that something that you would say, yeah, let's do it this way?
Well, at the time, I was also working with Booking. And when we became number one on TripAdvisor, we were also number one on Booking. And it was still a time that Booking.com sent me a big cake, an actual cake to my hotel for the whole staff, for us to share. And it was congratulations on being the best, you know, on Booking.com at the time. And I think those days are over. I don't think Booking.com is sending cakes anymore to...
I have no clue. Unfortunately, hotels. My hotel was never number one on Booking, I have to say honestly.
So I don't know if nowadays this is still possible, but I think your product and the way that you present your product is one of the most important things.
Yeah. And for the new generation, Generation Z, crucially important are the feedbacks that they find on Google and Booking and TripAdvisor. Mm-hmm. This is how they decide where to go and where not to go. For example, this generation also is being told that they book their stays in hotels with voice orders instead of writing or typing something. Do you think that these kind of things can change the whole industry? Is there any change or is it just a way how to get it to the computer?
Well, I'm a big believer in technology. In the last 3 years, I actually worked for a very big American company installing software in hotels. And the cloud and the way that you interact with the cloud, I think, is super important. And I think the hotel industry as a whole is a big dinosaur. You know?
Yeah.
I think that the hotel industry is not adapting to technology as fast as other industries do. And I, you know, we cannot look away, you know, from legacy ideas or legacy views that Generation Z is now here. You know, they are here to stay. And we don't even know what the next generation will be. But I think that technology is definitely a big thing. I think that the behavior of the new guest is also changing. people.
For example, sorry to interrupt you, but the chain, very famous and great chain of hotels called Motel One, they have about 90 hotels within Europe, where just one hotel has a proper restaurant. The one in Munich, where the headquarter of the Motel One chain is sitting also, by the way, in the hotel. And now they are solving the problem that Generation Z expects a great, cool restaurant in a hotel. If there's no restaurant, they don't come. So what do they do? Do they have to rebuild the ground floor? So they are looking for some solution.
Yeah. Well, I think that the experience of the society and the neighborhood of where you are, that you are not just coming into hotel, you sleep, yeah, you're a number, nobody knows who you are. That nowadays, since the world is so interconnected, that this interconnectivity also is looking back into the hotel business. Yeah, it's so much nicer to come into a nice cafe, a nice restaurant. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm very curious because there's another aspect to all of this. There is food delivery services. Yeah, you need, you know, a restaurant in the future where basically anybody with a mobile phone can get the best food out of the city on your doorsteps? And I'm very curious if that will be a future concept.
But it's the same like with chatting. Do you need to meet people when you can chat with them? This is like with the food, you know. One of the reasons that you eat in a restaurant is that you meet other people. Mm-hmm. That you have some interaction physically. I mean, you speak to that person. You are not typing all the time or voice ordering something on your mobile. So this is probably the same thing. But there are definitely changes of behavior of hotel guests. That's sure. Nigel, when we were talking before this interview, you said that you would probably recommend to investors to consider also the hotel area. So investors who are planning to invest their money because they saved some money, they need to put them somewhere, either in bonds or in real estate funds or in Bitcoin or wherever. But hotels hospitality and hotels, it's another industry which is not so famous for being invested in. But you said it may make sense. Why is that?
Well, if you invest in hotel business as an investor, you invest not only in the business, but you also invest in the real estate. You know, if you buy a house, the value increases. If you buy a hotel, the value probably also increases. The return of investment in hotels is you know, if you do it properly, you know, is stable. Yeah, you might invest your money in more volatile, you know, things, or even nowadays you might say, why invest in a hotel if you can put the money in the bank? But does the interest rate stay the same? You know, maybe next year the life is completely different. And I also think that, you know, a hotel is a living thing. It's something that you can, you know, be in, you can work with. If you are an owner that wants to participate in it, it's a great way also to invite your investors or your business partners. And it's something that
and your family.
And your family as well,
of
yes.
course. Yeah. And by the way, do you think that somebody who plans to invest their own financials in hotel, do they have to understand, I mean, the hotel operations and all these things behind the scene?
Well, you need to have a certain understanding. But I, you know, there's a few examples of individuals that had no clue about hotel business that started their own hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And I love one example, which is Ace Hotels.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bunch of young guys. I think they started their first hotel in L.A. They had no experience. Yeah, they had no money either. So they went to a flea shop, fitted out the hotel with a lot of taste, but very cheap with secondhand stuff.
Yeah.
And they decided to just spoil, you know, their guests rotten. So what did they do? They opened up the mind of the travelers on a completely different level. So I think if you have no experience, there is a big possibility of innovation. Yeah, because you need to find solutions for problems. On the other hand, you do need certain professionals or professional services that you can, you know, step back on, you know, to be able to, you know, to get to your financial goal faster.
Yeah, definitely. But I think we have to distinguish between these two people, two kinds of investment possibilities. One mm-hmm. is that you are just a financial investor. So you put some money in one concrete hotel and you every year or every quarter of a year, depending, you get your percentage mm-hmm. and return of investment. And you can invest in 5 years, you can invest in 10 years, whatever. Or you can decide to be more active in the operations, or you can find a tenant, or we can help you to find a tenant, or we can help you to find a manager or franchise or just an operator, so that you can be involved, but you don't have to. So I don't think it's an obstacle if you are not from the business, even from gastronomy, restaurants, whatever, you come from completely different business, from production, from software, or IT, I mean, then you still can invest and you can be very successful.
Yeah, I agree. I always got very inspired by these maybe niche examples, but I used to live in Brussels, mm-hmm. and this is on a restaurant level, not on a hotel level. But at a certain moment, I mean, you can imagine, and maybe you know, that the restaurant level in Brussels is very high. There is probably more Michelin star restaurants in Brussels than in France.
Interesting.
Yeah. And at a certain moment, a bunch of young guys, no experience whatsoever, they decided to open up a restaurant. They were from hotel school, so they mm-hmm. were schooled in how to do proper service. But they decided to open up a restaurant with their ripped jeans, tattoos, piercings, not at all the thing that you expect in a restaurant. Mm-hmm. But they got a Michelin star themselves as well, because the service, the food and the wine was just excellent. And these kids at the time, you know, they were just having fun, and they decided, okay, you know, where do you see nowadays that when you have a tablecloth on a table, that you take the dirty tablecloth away and putting exactly at the same movement a new tablecloth on it? You learn it in hotel school, but in practice, I don't think any restaurant is doing that nowadays. But they did in their routines. And their tattoos and their piercings.
That's wonderful. Well, we talk about hotels, and of course, hotels are not only, you know, success by success, but there are some difficulties you need to deal with.
Yes.
And one of them is a lack of people, which in Czech Republic is a constant problem. So what will happen? What can the hotelier do? Or, you know, is it a real threat to the industry? What would you think about HR situation in hotels?
Well, you definitely need guest-facing people that have an understanding of what they do and they have a little bit of passion in what they do.
And that they love their guests. Or I mean, they love to serve to people.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe
it is the most important thing, I think. And the recruitment of those people is one of the most important things in the hotel. It's sometimes more difficult to undo certain behavior of people that are in the hotel business for a long time versus people that have never worked in the hotel business ever, and then train them in how you want your hotel to be. Of course, it takes time. You need, you know, people that can train. You need to have, you know, if you're a managing director or a GM, you need your own vision in how to do that. But in all the hotels that I opened up myself, I never hired people from the industry. It was always people that have never worked in hotels before. And there is plenty of people out there.
Yeah.
But you need to train them yourself.
And okay. And tell us, how did you hire your staff at the Icon Hotel, for example?
Well, Icon Hotel, that was the first hotel in my life that I opened up. So I had no experience. I was fresh in Czech Republic. Mm-hmm. And I put an advertisement, one page or a small advertisement on a page in Mladá Fronta Dnes at the time. Mm-hmm. And it was a colored advertisement that was on a black and white page. And the advertisement said, want to have some fun?
Eye-catching, yeah.
Yeah, want to have some fun? Come and join me. And I put me because they would work with me. And I put there the Heston's beds and diesel clothes and... One of the things that attracted a lot of people is that I wanted to have bell girls instead of bell boys. Yeah, for the simple reason that it was just one of these things that I thought would make a lot more sense and a bigger difference in service than anything else. And just the fact that I recruited bell girls attracted a certain kind of people.
Definitely.
That wanted, yeah, they were interested. So with one advertisement, I got 80 reactions on it. And from the 80, I hired the staff and that was it. I had no... But I've done some crazy things.
What did you do, for example?
Well, I another hotel, we recruited the staff by doing a speed dating service where I...
So you didn't tell them that they are coming for... To be hired?
No,
to
I
the
did.
Hotel. No, you
basically,
did.
We asked the people to come for an interview. Mm-hmm. And of course, 99.9% imagine with an interview. Yeah, you sit opposite
tie
somebody.
And yes. One-to-one meeting, yeah.
And when I hired the people, we basically did an evening event where the interview was supposed to take place. 50 people came at the same time, came into one of the hotels that I actually opened up earlier, where they were going to meet me for 5 minutes and just rotate. And for the rest of the time, they could stay together.
Yeah.
We put sangria, alcohol, on the table because the kind of hotel that I wanted to open up needed a specific kind of people.
Yeah.
So we did the speed dating, interview. Yeah. Every 5 minutes, I had somebody that came. They sat down and you can never make a different or a first impression. But the people that were actually doing the selection and the not the interviewing but the selection were 4 of the 50 people were already working for me, but nobody knew that. Then you can actually see within the team, within the people, who are the leaders, who are the followers, who are the people that just shout out, "Oh, I had this interview with Nadja and it was horrible, man." So the selection process was completely different. And even from that evening, we hired half the hotel. So it was a very interesting experiment, but it worked really well. Yeah, because we did not want to have the same kind of people that work in hotels for many, many years already. You need a little bit of different thinking with me.
That's cool. And you also told me about checking in the Disneyland Hotel with families. So
yeah, well... If you have a product that is geared towards families, you should do something for families. And in Disney, if you check in, there is a little podium with 3 steps that even the small ones, they can step onto the reception desk, basically. There is a big book with some pens and pencils. And also the little ones, they can do the check-in when mommy and daddy are doing the check-in as well. And those are the kind of things that I think if you understand really who your guests are, you can cater for them in specific things.
It means that you need to take time to think about your product. What is the product? Who is the target audience? And what can I do for them so that they will feel like happy? Positively surprised and happy.
Yes. When I opened up my first hotel, I, of course, had a look. What do I like? I am the target group of the hotel that I opened up. And one of the things that I don't like is to come to a breakfast buffet and have scrambled eggs that are there for 2 hours already. And so I decided to do a la carte breakfast at the opening. And it's also an investment. I was coming to the hotel earlier than everybody else. I was pressing 10, 15 liters of fresh orange juice because I thought in that opening period, it is much nicer to have fresh scrambled eggs, fresh bacon, fresh orange juice. And that was my marketing and that was my unique selling point at the time.
Would you agree with me that one of the most important points or moments of the guest stay in a hotel is check-in, check-out and breakfast? Because breakfast is usually the very last thing that you experience when you are leaving.
Right.
Breakfast, check-out, and then you write down some probably nice feedback.
Right. Well... my opinion about this is that imagine you come to the airport and there is somebody standing there with a sign with your name perfectly spelled. There's no mistake in your name. That person with a big smile asks you to go and sit in the taxi. And while you come in the taxi, you get a nice bottle of water. And they said, you had a long trip. Please sit down. On the way to the taxi driver tells you, Jan, the surprise that you organized for your wife, it's all okay. So don't worry. At the same time, he gives a quick call to the reception desk and says, okay, the guests are on the way. By the time you come to the hotel, they know the driver. They say, hey, Jan, welcome to the hotel. You check in. if your product is great, you have Heston's beds, you have fresh orange juice. So you have those experiences in a hotel. And then my goal was always, and this was always part of the trainings that I did, that by the time you checked out and you are back in your taxi going to the airport, it's like, I don't know what happened, but this was such an amazing stay that, you know, and if you get to that level and you think about every single touch point, you know, mm-hmm. from the beginning till the end, yeah, then you do something different than probably others.
And then you can expect that that guest will tell that to everyone around him or her, that he and she will come back and their friends will come too. And then you don't need booking.com because you have your loyal base of clients.
Yeah, theoretical. I know about the story in a German city, Regensburg, I'm not sure mm-hmm. where it was, or Wolfsburg, where the whole city decided not to work with an OTA, with a booking.com, for example, mm-hmm. anymore. So from one day to the other, everybody canceled. And mm-hmm. do you think that the reservations were less? They just found different ways.
It's a great marketing.
Exactly. Yeah, so there is ways of, you know, doing things a little bit different and thinking out of the box.
Well, by the way, the city of Wolfsburg, they some years ago, they renamed the city for Autostadt for 1 year.
Really?
Because that was celebration of foundation of Volkswagen, I think.
Okay.
So this is also lovely marketing. But I wouldn't rename Prague.
No.
To something else. No. Prague is fine. Okay, so I have probably last questions on you, Nadja. What recently did you experience and was like positive? What make you happy or what made you smiling at the moment?
Well, I recently decided to sell my house, and mm-hmm. it is one of those steps which was a big step, but it's something that I think it's now, you know, the right time in my life to do. And in the process of selling the house, I am starting to look into moving, of course. And I found at a certain moment an apartment where the owners let me be and let me basically transform the apartment a little bit my way. So I came back to that early days when I was opening up hotels and I mm-hmm. was working with interior designers, you know, working with architects. Mm-hmm. And to be able to do that in my own way, that really made me happy. You know, I'm very much looking forward to finally move and then to move into something new. And maybe also because my whole life I went from project to project, from city to city, from country to country. And I got kind of stuck, you know, 15 years in the same house. And now I am so much looking forward to these changes and to do something completely new again. So that really made me happy in the last couple of months.
Great. Ladies and gentlemen, this was a very special Realitní Mixer about hotels. This time with my very special guest, Nadja Tien, a Dutch person with Chinese name, who is taller than me, surprisingly. And we had a talk about the hotel industry, about Prague, about Nadja's hotel openings, and some small, great details that make the stay of the guest different. Nadja, thank you very much. And
my pleasure.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you liked this Realitní Mixer, please just send it to your friends or put like on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, wherever you listen to that. And we are looking forward to speaking to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Realitní Mixer, podcast o bydlení a realitách pro širokou veřejnost.